You are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Indeed, we are powered by the SID Media. So Pastor Piri is back. We're speaking about all things worship, right? Yesterday, we had a beautiful session here where we defined what worship is. And we're like, yo, you know what? Now we're going to go off script. We're going off script. You know, we're in the mood for going off script. And today, we're going to be speaking about the church that heals, right? The church that heals in relation to us fostering the community of worship and worshipers. And we're also going to be touching on the do's and don'ts, if we can call it that, of worship, or the standards that are there. Because yesterday, yeah, we left it. I know there's one listener who's listening now, because they're like, I'm coming back for you too. You too, are you calling any show? You know, because we worship, we raise our hands, and others, they're like, no, you should not, in fact, do that because you're distracting other people. So do let me know what your thoughts are on +27 7 3 4 7 0 3 5 2 0. That number again is +27 7 3 4 7 0 3 5 2 0. Pastor Piri, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Thank you. I am well. And how are you today?
I am good, my pastor. Well, I hope that you're well rested.
I am well rested, and I was looking forward to this conversation today.
Thank you. Be warned, there are certain listeners that are waiting for you. In fact, one of them was like, I must be part of the, you must call me. I was like, wait.
No, I'm really hopeful that the Spirit of God will help us come to an understanding.
Yeah,
of what will be shared.
Indeed. Yeah. Before we start, Pastor, I'm going to ask that, can you please pray for us?
Let's pray. Eternal King of Glory, again, we are on this topic that's all about you. You are the one who created us. You're the one to teach us, oh God, just how we should worship, because you created these components in us. So help us to understand, even with the use of the scripture that you've given to us, oh Lord. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen and amen. Pastor, we ended it off yesterday. I want us to start it there before we go into the healing part of worship, right? We ended it there when we were speaking about the standard of worship, where some people are not comfortable with some of us raising our hands. Some people, they look at you funny when you start crying, and so forth and so on, you know. But is there a standard when it comes to worship? And what are some of the do's? Let's start with the do's before we go to the don'ts. You know, before when we are worshiping in church. I think when we are at home, we can do anything in church.
So I need to first of all underscore it that any comment I make does not represent like the official standard of the General Conference on the do's and the don'ts.
Yes,
I'm going to be sharing based on what I've read in scripture, based on my experience with God, and like conversations I've had with other pastors and other believers within the church.
Mm-hmm.
So just taking it off the bat, I used a scripture yesterday in Hebrews chapter 5. Let me quickly run there. I'll refer to it. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12 to 14, where scripture says, "For by this time you ought to be teachers." Okay. You need someone to. So, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God.
Mm-hmm.
You have come to need milk, not solid food.
Okay.
So, there are chances that, you know, you could be in the church for so long, always appreciating milk and not appreciating solid food. Because when we come to the Old Testament, the prophets, you know, they did really weird things when they worshipped God.
Mm-hmm.
They did really weird things. I mean, God was encouraging the lifting of hands in the Old Testament.
Mm-hmm.
Is it possible then that we are so long in the church, so hard on certain principles, and yet it's milk and not solid food?
Hey.
So where I now want to just bring it is, let's understand that there are things that can be done in private worship that cannot be done in corporate worship because of the dynamics of corporate worship.
Mm-hmm.
So lifting of hands, I don't see how that distracts anyone unless your lifting is the waving and you're distracting everyone.
Yeah.
But if you're lifting a gentle hand because as you are experiencing worship, you are appreciating that experience, do it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, granted that there are people from different cultures where certain physical expressions are unusual to them, they will come and impose it on us and say, no, you can't do that. But you know that in our context, even a gentle movement to a song is natural to us. because we have a rhythm in our bodies. Even when I'm singing, oh, Beulah Land, sweet, my body will move.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a group of people that for them it's not natural. They don't have that natural rhythm in them. And so it would be distracting to, you know, try and start dancing with two left feet or start moving with two left feet to Obula Land. Ne? So for them, it is okay for them not to move.
Yeah.
But for me, who's really coming out of an experience with God, and I'm having a gentle movement that is not distracting other people.
Yeah.
I think that is okay.
Okay.
Again, these are not standards set by the General Conference, all right?
Yes.
Then if we are in the middle of worship and I just feel like kneeling, and my kneeling does not distract anyone. If it will, again, I come back to the same text in Hebrews chapter 5. As a mature individual, if I realize that because I am in front, I say maybe I'm sitting in the front row or I'm serving, and we have said, everyone stand, let's sing. And then one of the people serving in front is kneeling. That's confusion.
Okay.
All right. But anybody, if I'm sitting in the pews, I'm somewhere where I can kneel.
Okay.
So all of it, like, so yes, there's a standard. I want to start by answering the question. Yes, there's a standard.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, we are in community worshiping God. And so there are certain expressions that are well within the boundaries of community worship. We kneel in church, do we not? We do. So if someone is moved by God, whom we read about in John chapter 3, if someone is moved by God to kneel and just praise God there on their knees, let them kneel. But if it is going to be such a distraction to the rest of the congregation, they must have discernment to know. The Holy Spirit must be able to speak to them like, not now.
Not now, yeah.
Not now. I stand. Even after they've already knelt, they should be able to stand. Because for the benefit of other people, one must just be able to, in that moment, hold themselves. If the lifting of a hand and waving is going to be destructive, don't do it. But if it's a gentle lifting of a hand, lift it. If it bothers me, for example, that somebody lifted a hand, I think the first investigation must start from my own heart. Why am I bothered?
Yes.
By that lifting of the hand.
Mm.
Is it satanic? Because it's not. In scripture, they were lifting hands. Lift your hands in worship. Lift your hands in praise, in fact.
Yeah.
So why am I so uncomfortable with something that was done in scripture, that was encouraged in scripture? Is it because of a bias I have? I must start that there. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3, the first portion of it says, for this is the will of God for your life, your sanctification. And sanctification is a process of growth. All right, let's not miss the word process. It's a process of growth.
Okay.
God is going to be revealing to us areas in which we need to grow. We must not discount those uncomfortable feelings to be processes where the Holy Spirit is convicting us, John chapter 16, because he convicts us of righteousness. So why am I so uncomfortable with someone kneeling to pray?
Hey.
I must inquire, God, I feel uncomfortable. Before I go and speak to this brother, I feel uncomfortable with their kneeling. Is there anything wrong? How do I even bring it to them? Maybe in my kneeling, God will be like, that was okay. I asked them to kneel.
Okay.
You know, so I think that's, so those are some of the do's. And the don'ts, I think, are right in there in the do's, that
yes,
it's too excessive and it's confusing. Don't do it. If the language, I mean, it's like I come to South Africa, and I'm using Ichalo Chesu like Jasper C, and no one is understanding. It's pointless. Why am I even speaking that language if there's
hey.
to explain what I'm saying? So don't do it in worship. If I'm going to sing a song and not offer some explanation, then all I'm offering people is the melody and the tune. But they're not benefiting so much from the words. So those are some of the don'ts. Like, we must become mature believers to understand, this I can do in front of other people, this I can't do anymore. But for as long as we continue to be children and be led by children and all of that, we will remain stuck where we have set up standards that are not even God's standards. I hope that was helpful.
I actually appreciate the fact that some of these things, they are culture induced, where people, because of the certain cultures, now when we are mixed, as much as we are multi international, we're an international church, for example, like my church, we are all everyone from everywhere is there, you know.
Hence
the language of instruction or language that we use most of the time. In fact, it's actually English for everything because we are so diverse. So I'm loving that, you know, we bring in that thing that, no, because when you grew up like this, it doesn't mean it's wrong. Go and ask God, you know, what is the problem? And I think it also comes back to us who do these things as well, to say, God, please guide me on when to raise my hand, on when not to. Because sometimes we become arrogant in our thing. This is how I worship. Me, I raise up my hands, you know, and not caring about other people in the church.
That's true. May I add a verse from the same book in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 14, that says, but solid food belongs to those who are of full age.
Okay.
In other scriptures, it says, who are mature. That is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So then the question is, have you exercised your senses to know what is good and evil? Or are you just uncomfortable because you were told it's uncomfortable, or you were told it's not supposed to be done? So then the raising of hands, maybe you grew up in a home where you were told you shouldn't raise hands in church. But who said that? Scripture has people raising hands. So can we exercise our senses to a place where we understand? And even when I'm coming to speak to a brother or a sister who is crying in church, I should have a place where I'm coming from. Because if it's weeping and making noise for the church, then yes, I can say, hey, listen, I appreciate you having a relationship with God in a moment in worship. But then like your weeping was disturbing the person next to you. But if they're shedding tears because they're experiencing the conviction of God, because they had a Nathaniel experience like David, like, you are the man. They came to church and they thought they were good. And then in that moment, the Holy Spirit convicts them. John chapter 16 again tells us that Holy Spirit convicts. And in their conviction, they are broken because God has shown them they were wrong on something, or because they are appreciating something God did. Let them shed a tear. Let them shed a tear in the presence of their God. Because where else are they going to go?
Where else
are they going to go to experience God in fellowship? So I think we must become mature believers and really know the boundaries of our rebuke and see if it is really godly rebuke or it is rebuke based on our culture and our own biases.
Pastor, let's jump to the healing part.
Yes.
As I prepare myself. Is there healing in worship? Can I get healed whilst I worship?
You know what? Genesis 1. Okay. Let us make man in our own image. He God communal, Elohim, you know, plural, creates man singular in his own image, plural. So he creates us to be relational. So there's a lot of healing that comes to doing stuff in community. And when we come to worship together, there is, especially where you feel like you belong and you're accepted, there's a lot that happens to our entire being. It's spaces like those that can boost people's self-esteem. I'm sure you've seen it in the youth that are so active in church and so accepted. Their self-esteem is through the roof.
Yeah.
So it's corporate worship where, you know, that's fostered this community and all of that can boost self-esteem. It can reduce stress, which is some of the things we're really struggling with in our time. It can reduce stress. It can improve mental health. These three things, when we come to church, especially churches where there's no gossip, there's no unnecessary pressure, and you're just such a warm community, people, I believe if we did our research, people should have a general better well-being than people that are coming from very hostile churches.
Okay.
And you will find that where mental health is improved, physical health follows as well.
Mm.
And so then people really just begin to have better physical health as well. So yes, you can experience healing in healthy community. And I think that's why we need churches that reason. You see, God calls us, he says, come, let us reason together. Mm. And we don't offer each other that invitation.
Mm.
You see somebody moving to a song, instead of reasoning, you just shut it down.
Mm.
But God would have invited me to reason. Like, let's reason, like, help me understand why I shouldn't move. Like, show me from scripture why movement is wrong.
Pastor, they're saying God is a God of order.
Yes. Can we not move in order? No, but here's the question. What is order?
Mm.
That's the question I want to ask. What is order? Because even nature is in order.
Hey.
But the planets are not moving at the same speed.
So?
The flowers are not opening up at the same speed, but they're opening up in order.
Mm.
There's no chaos.
Mm.
So my lifting of a hand that is not distracting anyone might as well be in order.
Mm.
For as long as it's not bringing chaos.
Mm.
My big verses are, let's reason together. Let's mature. Let's sit down and talk about these things. Let's have a space where I can ask my question and be answered. Mm. So I when I worship God at home, like the experience I shared with you where I was in this auditorium and I got this impression to do something that I didn't do and then somebody else did it. And that impression was confirmed that if I had done that, I would have, what was going to happen?
Mm-hmm.
For me, that's a real experience with God in that moment, you know. Mm. So let's have somebody more mature come sit with me and tell me, Andrew, that is off.
Mm-hmm.
Like I like to tell people that rebuke is love.
Yeah.
And so even as I'm sharing right now, I stand to be corrected. Like if someone reaches out to me and explains and walks me through scripture, it's like Aquila and Priscilla speaking to Apollo in Acts 18.
Mm.
You know, they heard Apollo preaching the word with power, but they understood that there's something that was missing. So when he was done, they call him aside and they correct him and they teach him more completely the word of God. So I remain open to things like that.
Mm.
But so far in my experience with God and what I've read, in how I've experienced worshiping God, I have seen nothing wrong with raising hands when you experience God,
uh-huh.
except when you go overboard and you begin to distract people.
You know, Pastor, there's this thing, I think I wanted to also help us understand this one, since we're on the whole healing and worship part. We always say, worship, you worship God through songs. Is that only it? Because I'm singing there. I know it in Zulu most of the time. 53, mm-hmm. like hymn 53. But nothing is happening. But now when I start to talk, like my worship becomes talk, not song, now I see things happening. So is worship only in song? Or we can worship God by not singing?
That's a very good one. So singing does a lot of good in your body as you sing. See, I see people leave their emotions outside the door when they enter church. And it's a very logical experience and relationship with God. I don't know how people do that. I haven't learned how to do that yet. But I bring all of me to it. I bring all of me to worship. And sometimes it means when people are singing, I am meditating because I'm listening to the words of the song and I'm just having a moment with God in that moment. If I continue singing with the congregation, I might miss what word God is placing in my heart. Romans chapter 12 says, verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Our entire being, whether we are singing, whether we are quiet, whether we are praying, whether we are talking, whether we are walking, ought to be in worship to God. So you may be in a service where people are singing, and in that moment, God is like, I need to talk to your heart. That's why I had them choose this song. Let me quickly share a story.
Okay.
Many times when I go to preach, I'm going and I'm saying, God, you need to speak. And sometimes I'm giddy and I'm like, God, I need to know you're going to speak today, because I don't have a word. I don't even know what I'm going to talk about today. And many times he will have placed a song in my heart before the service, and it would be one of the songs that we will sing during song service, or a special song. Someone will stand to sing a special song, and it will be that song. For me, then the confirmation comes, and I become at ease, and I know God is going to take over, and he will preach, or he will speak. So you have those moments. If the church is singing, and God is just like, I need to talk to you, listen to the words and meditate on them, because that's what I want you to work on. Do that. Do it. I support spaces where people come to encounter their God.
Yes.
And not to check off boxes. Because then we will have dead Christians worshiping in church.
Yes.
Rather than living believers meeting their God.
And you know, Pastor, as you're saying that, you know, sometimes we do, I've encountered people that say that they, in fact, even going to church has become a religion. You know, it's not something, it's not done with intent. I'm going to meet God, because we have all of these standards that we have put there. And then all of these expectations, this is how you worship, this is this. And then you find that now we don't experience God at all, because we have set, you know, this particular rules. But coming back now to the whole issue of healing, seeing yesterday we spoke about the community as well, the communal worship, as well as the individual one. Do you think that if we are in a community and we are worshiping together, for lack of a better word, you'll forgive me, my listeners, does it now fast track the healing part? Because it's not only you worshiping, but all of us have held hands to worship towards a particular outcome, or it's neither here or there, whether you're worshiping alone, whether you're in a group. If you are meant to be healed through worship, it's going to be like that.
I love that question. And I think the present challenge of our time is fast foods and fast everything. There's fast internet, there's fast. So even when we come to God, we're looking for a fast something. And yet it didn't happen so for everyone. There were people that were healed by a pronouncement in the moment, and there were people that were sent to do something and then they would receive healing. So God does it very differently for a lot of people. I think that if we have a community that fosters positivity and all these things that help us heal, then people can begin to experience healing. There are some people who, for example, I mean, I stopped smoking in a day. I had a conviction from God. I was praying.
Wait. You were a smoker.
I was for about 8 years in my life.
What were you smoking?
The things I was smoking, Chef. So I was on tobacco. Peter Stuyvesant was my poison.
Okay.
And marijuana.
Hey.
And I didn't think I was wrong, hey?
Yeah.
I just thought, hey, I'm using my own money. I'm not harming anyone.
Yeah.
And one day, after having a run-in with my mother, and she'd said so many things, I'm walking and I'm telling God, I'm like, but God, like, what's wrong? I haven't killed anyone. I haven't stolen. If this thing is so bad, help me stop. And I was going to hang out with my friends that day, and I couldn't stand the smell of cigarettes when I got to my friends. Now, that's my story. But I've also worked with people who have taken a little longer to stop their smoking. So we are all on different experiences and different timelines. Our job is Matthew 28:19-20, to go therefore and make disciples of all nations, to teach. Teaching isn't a one-off thing. I think we've gotten so used to these hit-and-run things where we come, do things for a short while and then leave and expect that change will have happened. Sometimes we need to stick around and see that this change actually comes to fruition. So the healing in community might not happen immediately for everyone, but to know that we continue supporting each other that we continue encouraging each other. If you read anything by Paul, that's something he says, encouraging each other, supporting each other, speaking these good words to each other, because we are helping each other come to this healing.
Let's bring it back to the Bible, my pastor, because someone will like, I hear you, Zanele and Pastor Piri, there, you know, you're just being about your personal experiences there. Can we point to a one character or someone in the Bible whom we can say, we are born a law through worship, you know, the way healed? We know King David is the king of worship.
True.
You can even speak about him. It's okay. Or maybe any other person whom we can say, we can see that through their worship, they were able to get healed. They were able to do X, Y, Z, or they were able to heal others through their worship.
So it's the woman at the well. I love that woman. I love that story. And I will refer to a few verses and then respond to the healing she experienced. Because Jesus comes, you know how scripture says he needed to go through Samaria? But any Bible student knows that he never needed to, because there was a way around Samaria. Jews and Samaritans never mixed. But he went for her. So he gets in, he has these conversations with her. You can see she's resisting him. Among the things she utilizes to resist him is what one of my teachers called religiosity, an addiction to rules. Religiosity and addiction to rules. So he comes to her and he says, go and call your husband and then come. And then she says, I don't have a husband. He says, oh, you've actually spoken over, because you have five husbands and the one you're with is not your husband. You're shacking up with him. And she says, now here's an experience. God wants intimacy with us. That's what this knowing that we read in scripture is about. He wants intimacy with us. She counters that intimacy with religiosity. She says, I see you are a prophet. So we resist intimacy from God by being religious. Says, I see you are a prophet. Our fathers worship on this. She starts talking about mountains to somebody who's just told her, I know your story. So God in worship wants us to just undress ourselves. James chapter 4 verse 8, draw near to me and I will draw near to you. Revelation is God unveiling himself. But he unveils himself to people who come to him unveiled, which is a picture of intimacy. Because how do you get intimate when clothes are covering everything? So you come to God and say, God, this is me undone. Like, this is my sin. This is where I'm struggling. And when you do that, he comes to you with a revelation, which is an unveiling of himself. So draw near to me and I will draw near to you. So this woman was healed, because after this resistance, the next point was her resisting Christ with procrastination. Just when she's realized, this man won't leave me, who is he? Then he announces himself. He says, I who am speaking to you, I am he, the Messiah. Then the Bible tells us she receives her healing, so much that what was most important in her life, the water jar that she came with, she forgot when she left. Here was a woman who was in worship before the Creator, leaves that presence, leaving behind what was most important to her. She came at the middle of the day because it was hot, but also because there were no people. No one was going to shame her. But she leaves what brought her there, and she runs into the city saying, come see a man. She had received her healing. She had received all the acceptance she needed. She felt like she belonged to somebody. That's the experience we receive in worship sometimes, where we just come and we feel seen by God. Do you know the healing that comes when you're fully known and fully loved?
Where you
don't even need to hide anything. People just know you, but they love you. That's a healing experience, and that's what I hope that churches become, where we know each other and love each other, but we also don't leave each other there, because scripture encourages us to point to refine each other. Iron sharpens iron, scripture says. So we encourage to sharpen each other. So in that corporate space, we can experience healing like the woman at the well.
You know, Pastor, I know the whole week is going to be lovely because we're speaking about all things worship. But for today, we're going to have to end it today. And I must say that I'm going to add to what, you know, we've been speaking about. When you worship God, you experience peace. You experience peace. Yo! You experience peace. You know, you could be going through a lot. I always say that, you know, sometimes, you know, life shows us flames or it shows us, gives us lemons. You could be going through a lot and feel like, I'm done. I'm done with everything.
Yeah, yeah.
But the moment you start worshiping Him, because when you worship, the peace that comes through.
Like, tomorrow I will share just how I worship.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe to help somebody.
Yes.
Because like that piece you're talking about, I have experienced it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've experienced it.
Ah, Pastor, please pray for us before we start another session today.
Let's
so that
pray.
We may worship Let's God. Pray. Yeah.
Father, you love us and I know it. You give us an invitation. Come now, let us reason together. Because God, you're so big. You've got so much allowance for us, your children, to come ask our questions and come and experience you. Thank you so much for allowing us to just interact and have this conversation about worship where we may have faltered in our explanations. Oh God, I know you're big enough to correct it and to give us a better and truer understanding and to bring us back tomorrow and correct it so that everyone else is corrected as well. Bless every listener that's on this that's tuning in today, dear God, that they will come again until the end of the week. And that their worship experience will be enhanced. That, dear God, you will grow closer to them. And that the intimacy will develop between you and them. I pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen and amen. Pastor Peter, thank you so much for joining us. Till we chat again tomorrow.
Thank you very much for having me.
Amen.
You are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.